What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
And a very good morning and welcome to the studio, Natalie Nichols, Children's Learning Specialist.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to have a chat with you today.
Yes. Lovely to come in again.
It's always a good conversation. We learn a lot. Now, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I'm going to talk about our organisation, particularly for kids with learning challenges or ADHD or even as adults. And the reason I chose this today is because I do have a lot of parents speak to me about it and they say, oh, my kid's so disorganised. How do we help our kids be organised? So I thought this would really be a great topic to have a chat with you about, and anyone in the audience who wants to chime in and have a bit of a chat, that would be great.
And challenging for a parent, if you struggle with being organised,
yes.
Does that become then really difficult to even help educate our kids, I would imagine?
Of course, yeah.
But anyway.
And especially when you have so much in life going on as well.
Indeed. You know. Back after this. Organise. Are some people just naturally wired that way, do you think?
Yeah, look, in general, there are a fair bunch of kids or adults as well that can just be naturally more organised. Mm. You will find it's quite common that children who are struggling with learning or particularly have symptoms of something like ADHD will show challenges in organisation. Doesn't mean that they have ADHD, but, you know, it can be a symptom of that. And organisation gives us that sense of control, I suppose, and sometimes peace when we are organised, because otherwise things can become quite overwhelming when we don't really have a path of what we need to do and where we're at. And it can be quite frustrating at home too, because we have so many things to do, not only as parents but as kids, and then just trying to organise our lives, you know, it can be quite a big challenge.
Well, we touched on this a few times, haven't we? We've spoken a little bit about timetables and schedules and things stuck on the fridge and spreadsheets and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, tough one for if you pick it up early, if your kids are really not organised.
Yeah. So I really want to focus today a little bit more on the organisation side of kids with learning difficulties or ADHD. So what really is going on there, and helping us to really understand more about what is going on so that we can come from it from a different perspective.
Okay. We'll take a break, Natalie. We'll come back and chat some more. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning. Natalie Nichols, Learning Specialist, is with me. We started talking about being organised and our kids being organised. And we can, I would imagine a lot of parents would get frustrated, Natalie, without not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Why aren't they? If you're an organised parent, you could be very, very frustrated with a child that's not organised.
Oh, definitely, And even if we're not organised too.
Yeah.
I think if we're even not organised and we've got to get out the door or we've got to get things done, it can be quite overwhelming. Like, it's an added stress, I think, on all of us, really. When you know, and I think one of the really important things is that we don't blame ourselves for our kids not being organised or we're not disorganised, you know.
Mm.
I think just understanding where organisation comes from, so we can change our thinking on that, because sometimes we can get a bit stuck on, you know, how can I just get my kid more organised?
Yes, because I don't understand.
They should just be more organised, you know, instead of taking a step back and having a look at what's actually going on underneath.
Yeah, okay.
What potentially could be happening underneath? I'm all about the underlying. And so one of the big things about organisation is that we need our area of the brain, our frontal lobes, which are basically that frontal area of our brain, and an area we call our executive functioning. And this is the job of that area of the brain is for planning, it's for organisation, it's for paying attention, it's decision making, inattentiveness versus paying very careful attention to things. And, you know, that particular area of the brain does take quite a long time to mature.
Okay.
Right? So it's one of the last areas that really does fully mature. I have mentioned this before where, you know, up until the age of 25 where it's fully mature. But children, particularly with learning difficulties, ADHD, take longer for that area of the brain to mature, and it's quite commonly weak or not as developed. So when we can take a step back and have a look at that and understanding, you know, let's look at our child's brain instead of our child as such. Let's have a look at what could be going on inside their amazing little brain and take a step back instead of thinking my child's doing this.
Right.
Yeah, thinking, is there something else there? And I think that just helps us to understand. That first step is understanding our children and understanding what could be happening here. Now, one other really interesting thing is that we have another part of our brain called the amygdala. Some people might have heard of that as like our fear center.
You've mentioned that before
That's right. Yeah. So if our fear center is activated, so, and commonly this is, you know, because we do live in quite stressful, busy lives, you know, kids going to school every day, activities, parents working, grabbing kids, you know, that fear center can be more activated than what we ideally would like to as human beings. And when that is activated, it takes priority. And so our executive functioning part of our brain, which is all of our planning and our attention, things like that, are more likely to either switch off or not be used, because the brain wants to look after survival first.
Right.
We're made to just stick with the survival. And so if our fear center is set off, we're looking just to survive. Right? How can we cope with the situation we're presented with right now? I don't have the brain capacity to plan and think ahead.
Or make a decision.
That's going to be, you know, in the right state. And so once we understand that and take a step back, having a look at these things, that can change our perception on then how we can put things into place to help.
That is fascinating. Can it carry through to adult life? If it gets missed, like I'm just thinking, even for adults listening, not only thinking about your kids or your grandkids, but I'm sure there'd be people listening today going, I can relate to that even now, and I'm in my in my 50s or my 60s or 40s or whatever.
And there are these amazing devices now, with some neuro practitioners have like things they can check to see which centres of your brain are more activated.
Right.
You know, and sometimes, you know, they'll see that actually during a certain activity, your brain, that amygdala, might be more highlighted than another area, which means more activated at that particular time, to show that, you know, your underlying state is more stressful, I suppose, or in that fight zone.
Okay.
And it's because we can almost just be stuck in it for such a long time. We might not realise we're in it.
Interesting. We'll take a break. I'm going to get organised. We're going to play a song. I'm making a decision. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more. Back after this. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike and Natalie Nichols. Children's Learning Specialist is with me. We're talking about being organised. Our kids being organised. Good morning, Rebecca. You got a question or a comment this morning?
Oh, I just basically, all our family has autism and ADHD. I was late diagnosed, and it's sort of like, I'm glad you're talking about ADHD, because often it comes hand in hand with autism, and the people think of ADHD as people who can't sit still or can't, are restless, but there's other ways of, like inactive it's called, and that means that the person struggles to actually complete tasks and be on timely schedule. So I'm really pleased that you're talking about this executive function, because it's very, very misunderstood, and a lot of people get put down and criticised and judged, unfortunately, or get frustrated with people, and it causes a lot of anxiety for the individual. So they end up possibly, like for me, for example, I have complex PTSD because I was never diagnosed, and I just self-diagnosed at 50. So, complicated as it is, I've had a big journey, but I had a good journey with God as well on my side to keep me strong. And I think he's helped to challenge and push myself outside of myself, because the problem is that you struggle to, like, step out and talk with people because of that social anxiety, and within hand in hand with that, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I just want to say I'm really happy that you are bringing this to the table, because it's so misunderstood, and people often get, unfortunately, bad outcomes and bad health outcomes for the future if it's not addressed. And there's not much out there with adults. It's very challenging to get the help.
Rebecca, good call. Thank you for calling in. Do you know what? Rebecca?
What? Yes.
You're our caller of the week. You're our weekdays winner. I'm going to give you our the $100 fuel card thanks to
A legend.
Thanks to Runabout Metals. I've just made the decision, the executive decision as I'm talking to you. Seriously.
You're a blessing.
No, you are our weekdays winner. I'll get you to hold on there, Rebecca. We'll put you back on hold. And that was a great call.
Amazing.
Rebecca, hang in there. She's doing well, right?
It gives me shivers and almost tears. You can see them almost coming back I hear that, because it is about understanding where people are coming from, what else is going on, instead of that judgment first.
Yep.
And it does lead to then these unnecessary stressed out kids trying to expect, and even as adults, expecting us to do these things when actually, you know, we have to have a look at what else could be going on. We really need to be careful. You know, what are our expectations? Are they age appropriate? Are they developmentally appropriate? Because commonly when a child might be a certain age, it doesn't mean developmentally they're at that age.
Right.
So even though a child might be 7 or 8, maybe 9, developmentally in a certain area, they might be working at around age 5 or 6.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So just because we have an expectation because they are that age, it doesn't matter. You know, we need to make sure that we are doing that. And for our own emotional well-being for our child, it also makes us feel better too, right?
Absolutely.
You know, when we start being positive and start thinking about it from another perspective, it helps us as a person to feel, I'm looking at this from another perspective as well and making me feel a bit better, but also the other person on the other end. And it actually puts us in a better position to be able to help.
Yeah, absolutely. Natalie, we'll take a break. I'm going to make a decision right now, and I'm going to play another song. Love to talk to you, just like Rebecca called, 9313-0985. Natalie Nichols is with me, children learning specialist. Got another message come through, Natalie, from Demi from Southern River. Good morning, Demi. Demi says, I'm 29 and was diagnosed with inattentive ADHD last year, and it's been life-changing. It's been difficult to accept that I need to take medication to be a functional adult, so things like cooking, cleaning, working, just socialising, but it's made a huge difference in my life knowing what it is and finally getting some help for it. 29 years old? Can it happen anywhere, at any age?
Yeah, so commonly it is present in childhood.
Okay.
So, and at times, you know, there can be adults that kind of what they call, you know, outgrow. But commonly there are still going to be symptoms that would hang around into adulthood.
Right.
And it just depends then on what strategies or what lifestyle changes, I suppose, have been introduced or taught. And, you know, there's been some great studies on the medication front that work for some, and there's some that also people have experimented and it hasn't worked for them. You know, it's great when people do be able to find something that does support and help them. And obviously inattentiveness is one particular part. There are obviously lots of different areas of ADHD. Or ADD, in fact, as well. And so, but one really, really common thing that I'd like to also bring up is that just because we have a diagnosis of something, it's great to have that because for comfort sometimes to have a label to kind of, you know, for some people they like that, to have that reassurance. But we now know that our brains can change.
Right.
So it's really important that, yes, obviously this, you know, and medication is great that it helps and we would always keep going whatever's been recommended for us. But I really encourage people to have a look at, you know, what else could be underlying and potentially impacting and how can I help relieve those symptoms in a way from coming.
So it could be other things. So it may not only be just medication. There could be some other lifestyle issues that may not have been unearthed.
Yes, which is very tricky to find out, to be honest. It's a bit of a puzzle, I suppose, to look into. But if we look at obviously what the medication does, and it supports the dopamine, and then there's things called neurotransmitters. So, you know, are we getting enough of that dopamine fix within our lives, the reward center, you know, or are we just grinding the stone by working all the time, cooking and cleaning and, you know, how else can we get that feel good part of life to give us that dopamine release?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Are there things that are out there in life that we can do to help us feel really good?
Interesting.
You know? Yeah. So that's one of the big things that I encourage people to start also having a look at is lifestyle parts that, you know, food, obviously sleep, you know, emotional areas, what's going on in our lives that can help us to feel good, feel like we have that purpose, have a motivation to do something. You know, it can be a minefield, but I really encourage everyone to just, you know, take that step back and also have a look at it from another perspective.
Very interesting, Natalie. It almost overlaps a little bit with our naturopath Mel, who comes in.
Yes.
I mean, you're saying very, very similar things when you look at looking at it a bit deeper and what's underlying it. We'll take a break. Back after this. At 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Natalie Nichols is with me. Had some good calls, some good messages coming through. It's a good topic, this one about being organised and really understanding and what is the underlying issue, which is really important. Just to finish off today, Natalie, you got some tips and some advice for those listening?
Yeah. Okay, so I've got four tips to go through here. Priority number one, which really needs to be done first before we would move on to the other ones, Mike.
Okay. Get him in order.
All right.
Got to be organized.
That's right. I'm doing my best. Okay. So we've got relieving that stressful, overwhelming environment. Now, that is internal food-wise. It's external busyness. It's
easy to say.
This is what I'm trying to say. It's easy for me to say, look, I'm a parent of three kids. I work too. My life is crazy as well.
But I know what
it's like.
Yeah.
But I also know that if we don't relieve that stressful environment and get enough sleep, eat well, exercise, all that kind of stuff, then we are also going to be more stressed. And those symptoms, particularly of ADHD or ADD, are going to be also more prevalent. And there's a lot of research that does show that you'll have higher symptoms in those particular areas if, you know, our diets aren't right, if our sleep isn't right, we're not exercising, then we're going to have more of those symptoms. Because this is the way we were made.
Yeah.
You know, this is our underlying human body that we've been made to be able to function daily. So
good starting point.
Starting point.
Like
as
it.
Hard as it is.
Yep.
It's something to have a look at first.
Great.
Okay.
Yep.
For our kids and ourselves. Number two is introducing prompts or triggers. Right.
Okay.
So in order for us to be able to do something, instead of relying on our brains to prompt us, because particularly with inattentiveness or focusing on something we need to do, have some kind of external device to give us that prompt. So instead of using the parent or using ourselves, put it into a phone or an iPad or a watch.
Oh, yeah.
So get your schedule and have it in some other device or some kind of permanent checklist. It's almost removing the load to become an external resource.
Right.
So not using and relying on our brain for that, but rely on something else as the prompt and the trigger.
Interesting.
Okay. Once we've done that, make sure that we have small, achievable goals.
Okay.
Very small, achievable. Because it can be quite
overwhelming.
And disheartening.
Yeah.
You know, if
it's
we set
hard.
These targets and then
Forget
go,
it.
Oh my gosh, I can't do
nah.
it. Just set
that.
Like one or two, something that's really achievable.
Mm.
And then the really important thing afterwards, number four, is to reward yourself.
Nice. I like that one.
Reward yourself.
Mm.
You know, get that dopamine fix by rewarding yourself with positive rewards, obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not looking at other adult things.
Yeah.
But positive rewards, you know, once I've managed to follow my prompts and I'm achieving this particular goal, I'm supporting myself with my environment, what kind of reward are you going to give yourself afterwards? Are you going to go out to the movies?
Mm.
Are you going to get extra game time with mum or dad? Or
yeah.
are you going to give yourself a night out? Or, you know,
yeah.
so that you're constantly making sure that you are rewarding yourself, giving you that time to know that, you know, I did well at this.
Yeah.
And this is how, this is how, you know, this is my thing I'd get afterwards.
That's quite simple to follow in theory.
Yes.
But also, what sort of time frame would you think? I mean, is it going to be different? I'm probably asking a difficult question. As a bit of a guide, what would be on average?
Yeah.
If someone started this, say, for example, okay, yep, I like that. I'm going to start that this weekend.
Yeah.
What sort of time frame would we expect to see some difference, do you think?
I'm glad you asked that. Because I think a while back in one of the other talks, we've talked about how long it takes to change a habit.
Oh, yes, we did too.
Do you remember
how many
days?
Oh, now you got me. I'm trying to think back now. I can't remember how many days was it?
Okay, so there was a study done in the UK.
Yeah.
And they show that it's approximately 66 days for us to change a habit for it to become permanent.
Okay.
All right. Some people may take longer, though, so keep that in mind. But the brain doesn't like change. So it's not going to be easy. That's why you must reward yourself.
Right.
So once it does start to have a new habit, there are going to be hurdles. You have to be prepared that there's going to be a mountain you're going to go over.
Yep.
And then there's going to be a period where it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's really hard. It's all too hard basket.
Yeah.
And you have to know that's going to happen. But once you pass that, it then starts to get easier and then it becomes a more natural thing. It's just how the brain works. And so once we understand that's going to come,
Take time.
You get to that 66 days, even crossing it off on your calendar,
yep.
I'm working towards this,
Okay.
you know, having someone else to help you keep accountable and support you through that too.
Good tips, Natalie. Look, we are out of time. We could keep talking all day, to be honest, but I've got things to do. I've got to get organised, and you've got to get organised.
That's right.
And we shall catch up in a couple of weeks, shall
we? All right. Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
Pleasure. My guest in the studio today, regular guest, has been Natalie Nichols, Children's Learning Specialist. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.